Good morning, church.
Morning.
How are we doing?
Great.
I got to tell you, I am excited to be here today. Really appreciate the Assembly of the Saints. Let's open up our Bibles to 3 John. Read a couple verses out of there in opening. Okay, 3 John, let's read 2 through 4. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord God, Lord, we come before you humbled. You are the one who is exalted above the heavens, and the earth is your footstool. Just thinking about the Bible question this morning, we do have freedom in Christ Jesus, freedom to be slaves. So it's a paradox, it seems. But we are taught that we are a slave of that which we obey, and that this creation and our purpose in this life is not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify you. So, Lord, as we are gathered today to consider our freedom, Lord, we are to use our freedom to serve one another. Because we are willing servants, as we have decided to be slaves of righteousness, so that we might inherit the eternal reward of heaven. Lord God, you are seated above the heavens. We are here to do your will as your servants. And just excited by the meditations today and the fellowship, Lord, on the first day of the week as we have come together to remember Jesus Christ, and that we would consider how to stimulate into love, stimulate one another to love and good deeds, and that we would consider your body as brought out in the Lord's Supper meditation, to encourage others, to strengthen others, and to have a faith that's worth imitating. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, not necessarily a two-part message, just a theme that I wanted to work on. Last week, we talked about personal conviction. And I started by asking the question, what is it that you desire the most? Maybe you see it reflect in your hobbies, you see it reflect in your bank account, where you spend your time, the things that you talk about, or maybe just in that quiet moment when you have the opportunity to reflect in your thoughts and to ask yourself, what is it that you desire most? And so we read where Jesus agrees with the guy's interpretation of the law, that we are to love the Lord God with all of our strength, soul, and might. And that should be our driving force behind everything that we hold as a conviction and faith in this life. That the Lord God would be number one. Specifically, that Jesus Christ would be preeminent. So we talked a little bit last week about how does someone do that? How do we develop conviction? How do we strengthen faith, which in turn would strengthen our resolve? We know that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And so our faith has to come from God's word. And so some things that I've noticed along the way is that as we consider ourselves and our walk and our role in the body and our faith before our Lord and our love for Him, that we have to be honest with where we're at. I think even as we saw in the meditation this morning, that if you think you're loving God and hating your brother whom you've seen, you have deceived yourself. We have to be honest with ourselves. And we're given these little things in the scriptures, like how much do you love your brother? Could be a good barometer for how much you love the Lord your God. To be honest with ourselves about where we're at, and coupling that with prayer. Specifically, prayer through the scriptures. As we take the thoughts of God, as we take the very mind of God, as we take His principles, as we take his very nature, because he is the Word, amen? And through the renewing process of the mind, conform into that image. Conviction comes from the Scriptures. So just kind of covered a couple things that I thought help along the way. Loving the Lord God with everything that we have. But the second part of that we read, was to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, the neighbor is there as well. You know, I find myself saying this often from up front in personal studies out in the world. Brethren, you can't have Jesus apart from the church. The head is sort of connected to the body. Jesus himself being the head, us being the many members, although who are one body in Christ Jesus. Cannot have the head apart from the body. So the summation of the law is to love the Lord your God with everything that you have and your neighbor as yourself. And so, makes me think of this passage here that John writes in verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear of my children walking in truth. That is my personal desire. The thing that I desire most, the unity of the body and the growth of the body. But what we see is that the whole is typically the sum of its parts. In basketball, we had a saying. It was, your weakest player just has to be greater than the weakest player on the other team, and you can win. Because the whole is made up of the sum of its parts. And what I hope we saw last week, what I would like to tie in to this week, is that in order for unity to come about, in order for the body to be strengthened, for that stimulation of love and good deeds, and for it to grow as those who are of Jesus' voice hear the word of God and repent. We each have an individual responsibility to respond to the gospel, to continue to grow in the gospel, which is saving us, and to grow in our personal faith and conviction. Maybe skip it for the sake of time, but many of us know Ephesians 4:24. Don't know if anyone's brave enough to shout it out. But what is commonly, as we would understand it, is new creation principles. That we are to be conformed by the renewing of our mind into the image of the one who created us. Okay? Maybe many of us just remember that section is the latter part of chapter 4. That's how I remember it. Do you know what the earlier part of chapter 4 is? Oh, that the body would be unified. Fullness to the measure and the stature that belongs to Christ. The body is to be unified into the fullness of Christ, and therefore each individual has the responsibility to renew his or her own mind and to conform. The whole is the sum of its parts. And so, where that leads me into a message that I hope encourages us this morning is, can we help others develop conviction? My prayer to God is for the unity of his people and for the growth of his church. First thing I have to do is take an honest evaluation of where I'm at. And to make sure that I have my own spiritual house in order. That was last week's message. The follow-up question to that is, how do I help others? Can I help others? This question follows me around every single week. How do I help people develop conviction? And you know what drives me bonkers? I can't give anyone their faith. You cannot give someone else their convictions. But the question still follows me around. Brethren, I don't know if your mind goes down this track. As you consider the body, as you consider seeking Jesus' kingdom and his righteousness. But they sat me down in the guidance counselor's office at 18 and said, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And I said, "I just want to make a difference." Don't we all think that? Shouldn't that be the mentality we bring into the church? I just want to help people. Isn't that so many people just sit at 18, you know, like, "What are you going to major in college?" Well, you know, I just want to, you know, a majority. You know, some people say, "I just, you know, want to make a lot of money," or just fine. You know, I want to help people. Well, how about the Lord's people? I want to help them, but I can't. What an awful feeling. How can we help someone to go from a one-talent effort, from a lukewarm effort, to seeking the Lord's kingdom and his righteousness with all their strength, soul, and might? I want to be clear on something. Generally speaking, talents, as we understand the parable of the talents, are typically somewhat set. Romans would call it a measure of faith. Okay? If God has given you two talents, what does he want back in return? Two. So when I say, how do we move someone from a one-talent effort to a five-talent effort, that's not my focus. My point is the person who's been given five talents and is returning one to the Lord. That's the problem. That's the concern. The Lord's given one, two, and five. To each has been allotted a measure of faith. Each one to think so as to have sound judgment, Romans 12 said, as we saw last week. That's not what I'm saying. There's one talent faith out there. He just don't want you to go and bury it in the backyard. And there are also five talent faiths out there. And he wants five back in return. So the question I'm asking myself, and the question that I feel as I consider the Lord's people and to love our neighbor as ourself, is how do I help other people? How do I help? It's like, I can't give them their faith. I've come down to one answer so far, and that's what I want to share with you this morning. Faith can be imitated. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, somewhat of a shotgun blast approach of a chapter, if you ask me. So we'll grab verse 7 here. He says, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith." I'll get to this point here in a second. You do have to consider their conduct. Now, that's important too. But if it's the desired outcome, imitate it. Imitate it. You know, Ethan and I walk into the hardware store, and we walk in, and right to the right, there's another father standing there looking at the items for sale on the shelf, and I'm sure this has happened to a bunch of us, but the dad's sitting there, you know, kind of looking around, and the boy's looking up at him, and he's... He's imitating his father. It was actually at the same hardware store that I was standing here doing this, trying to look, and I look over, and Ethan's like... I was like, "Oh boy, that's kind of cute. You know, good reminder that they're watching." And then I had to get to the bottom, so I was like kneeling down, and I'd kind of forgotten about him for a second because I was reading this label, and I look over, and he's bobbing up and down on his knees. Yeah. Yeah. Imitation. Paul says, imitate me, just as I also am of Christ. This theme is in the New Testament. Brethren, the Lord knows many of you have been instrumental in my faith. Wish I had the ability to go through so many examples this morning, but I don't. But as I consider what it looks like in my own home to practice hospitality, so much of that is learned from you. Because I was in your home. I'm serious. Now, I'm the evangelist, so I spend a lot of my time working with people one-on-one, studying the Word of God. And lots of those practices are imitations of those who have led me. Again, I wish I had time, but you yourself consider. I'm just saying for myself personally, even all the way to the things that my family does are a result of imitating the faith of others. You know, it's like, especially with like all these new Christians that we have right now, and it's like, you know, they're reading the Word of God and they're trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, trying to understand what it means to walk by faith. It's like, can you learn it from the Word? Absolutely. And that's the only place it can come from. But when the Word, okay, becomes acts of faith in other people's lives and you can see it, that goes a long way, doesn't it? Now, brethren, I know we understand this, but okay, so consider with me for just a moment. I was thinking about this morning. So maybe there's somebody out in the world who's just like really struggling. Maybe there's a family member that's just, you know, really making poor choices. And usually our response is, well, I mean, they don't want a Bible study. They don't want to show up to assembly. They don't really want to listen to anything I have to say. So what do? We always say, I guess I just have to continue to show them the love of Christ. Why would we do that? We want them to see the love of the Lord in our life. Imitate. That's why we do it. It's like, so I don't know if any of you, if your minds think the way that mine does. I hope that we've all personally considered our own faith and where we're at. And the tweaks and the fueling that we need to do to enhance the things that we're already doing and to tweak the things that we should be doing. But then my brain goes that step further and it's like, how do I help other people? I can't give them faith. But I can set an example that's worth imitating. That if the conduct is there, it's fruitful, it matches the scriptures, it's good and peaceable, then maybe it can be imitated. I like how he says this in chapter 6 of Hebrews. Let's turn back there. Verse 11. He says, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope to the end. It takes the perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, Romans says, to push through in this life. And it is going to take diligence to take the hope that's available in Christ Jesus and to ride that train all the way to the end. Because this life is hard. And when you follow Christ, Jesus said, the world won't even know you. And it's going to hate you because it hated him first. So when you sign up to follow the Lord, you basically just put all of your hopes and your ideals and your desires and your opinions, and they run contrary to everything else in the world. This life is hard. It's hard. So the exhortation is, have diligence so that you will hold this hope until the end. Verse 12, so that you will not become sluggish. Okay? Like, I chuckle because Like, I used to, okay, so a group of us used to do the Spartan races years ago, right? Well, for me, it was years ago, okay? And it was great, because it was a once-a-year goal that would get me off the couch, you know, in February and March when I didn't want to, all right? And so there was lots of running in that. And I got pretty good at running. I got okay at running. You know, I got like I started at 10-minute miles, and I got them down to like 8-minute miles, and then like there was a couple that were like in the 7 to 8 minute range, which for me is very, very good. I can't do that anymore. And now what I've learned is with doing these workouts a couple weeks ago is we did 15 front squats at 95 pounds and then went and ran a 400 and then threw in some stairs in there as well. And did that for 5 rounds. You know what your legs feel like after you've actually put some weight underneath them? Like jello. And that's the picture I get here spiritually. He says, do not become sluggish. Do not let the weight, the literal weight of the world, turn your legs into jello. The desire is for diligence, so that the hope will be made true all the way to the end, verse 12, so that we will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. If there are people who are doing this, who have done this, and the fruit of their faith is evident, the teaching is to imitate that. He says, in so by doing, you can keep diligence all the way to the end. Seeing others who are going through this same world, that's hard, bearing the same burdens as you, yet following through in full faith and conviction, imitating others. So what does this mean? Well, for me, what it means is that this thing, I don't like that term religion, that our faith must be bearing fruit in our own life. That this thing must be coming through in our own life so that others can see it. Maybe it's a new Christian who's looking for that example of what does fellowship look like? What a great example. I was so excited to start seeing the neon and the blue when I walked in this morning. I think we did that last year. Did we not do that last year, wear the shirts? Yeah. Like, what a great idea. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah. Yeah. Fellowship. What does that look like? People are like, what does it look like to renew, to pray through the scriptures? How do I do that? Okay. Well, follow those who are doing it. People need to see it playing out in our own lives. Jesus taught, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. So what that tells us is two things. One, we need to be growing in Christ. And two, we need to be spending time with the brethren. One, we have to be growing in Christ. The lamp's got to be lit. Like, it has to be there. And then two, we can't hide it. It can't be reserved for me, myself, and I. And then to be fueled by the idea that even though we cannot give faith to one another, we can do our best to live it. Knowing that the scripture teaches us, people will imitate that. So that makes me feel extremely responsible to set a great example of light as we follow Jesus. I want us to go to Romans chapter 12. Like I said, I just want to again, show us the theme and connection between the individual responsibility to grow in the Lord and its connection to unifying the people, unifying a body. Grow in Christ Jesus and be willing to spend time with the brethren. You have such great things to share. Gifts, Romans would tell, that we have to share with one another. So we see the individual responsibility. Verse 1. Romans 12, live your life as a living and holy sacrifice. Verse 2, do not conform to the world, but renew your mind. And then it goes on, because the point he's making in verse 4 is just though we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. You see, the whole is the sum of its parts. We have to each individually seeking the knowledge of the Lord, growing in His grace, growing in our conviction, so we can turn around and share our convictions as a way to have it imitated. And what we do is we share our gifts. This is really cool. See, he's going to tie this into the body. He says in verse 6, and I'll probably read the majority of this. I just want us to consider this and slow it down a little bit. In verse 6, he says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Like this theme that's just been running through all these messages that I can't get away from. Each one of us has been placed in the body just as God has desired. Perfectly. Will said there's some cells in our body that we don't want. I have a theory on that. Every one of us, exactly where God wants us. And the scriptures are pleading with us to not regard one another according to the flesh. To understand that each one of us is placed in the body just as God has desired. And there's such an important role that every one of us plays. And I've found out from talking with a handful of you and from my own experiences, is one of the hardest questions that we have to answer is, where has God placed us? Now, I'm just sharing a couple of like examples with you. I'm not saying this is true for everyone, but the majority of people I talk to, and including my own experience, it took years to answer that question. Where has God placed me in the body? Now, look, if you're not sure, exhortation is one of the gifts given to the brethren. You can turn around and be an encourager today, and that can be your place in the body. Let me give you an example, okay? So I'm doing like a stewardship or a Lord's Supper meditation like however many years ago. And a very young Matthew Wilson, I don't think he couldn't have been more than 14, maybe 15 years old. And he told his dad, man, Nolan has the best prayers. And so Luke was telling me this story. And it was very obvious to both of us in that moment, like, okay, we both agree. Like, your prayers aren't necessarily better than anybody else's prayers. And I don't mean, like, is the Lord hears them. I mean, like, y'all probably pray better than I do in public. I don't know. I don't think it's all that good. And it dawned on me in a second. The kid looks up to me. It's like, you like somebody, you're going to think what they do is really great. Right? And so that's the conversation we had. So I was like, you know, this new Christian, I'd been a Christian for like a year or two, and I was like, oh, there's a young guy in the assembly that's looking up to me. So I kind of kept pulling on that cord, and I found out there were other young people, not because I'm some great thing. I'm just saying this was my natural experience. So I'm like, maybe the Lord placed me in the body as a young, you know, middle 20-year-old, you know, single Christian guy to set a good example to them. No offense to you young married guys, but there is a lot of great work that a young single guy can do in the congregation to young people coming up. I was like, I'll do that. So I signed up for youth camp, and I did the Friday fellowship, and plugged myself into all of these things overnight, almost in the same month. Cool. Would you say my role in the body is to primarily influence and encourage young people today, primarily? I would say no. For the simple fact that I'm the evangelist. My position has been made very clear to me. Does that make sense? So where it started isn't where it ended. And then somewhere in the middle, the school got thrown in, which is a huge blessing to the congregation. So if you're not sure where that place is in the body today, you start that process. And if you're really not sure, you can flat out just be nice to people. My wife and I typically, in the car on the way here, talk to each other about how you doing, how's it going, like, How's your mindset? Do you have any goals to accomplish at assembly this morning? Like setting your mind. Just set your mind. Like, is there somebody you want to reach out to? Is there somebody you know that needs help? Is there someone that could use some encouraging? And so my wife said something along the lines of, well, you know, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm trying to figure out the right way to say this without her permission. Just kind of feeling a little blue today. I'll leave it at that. I'm just kind of feeling a little blue. And I said, I bet someone else feels that exact same way. And you're not going to know it. So why don't we find that person and encourage them today? Because the cool thing is it takes the focus off of you, and I've noticed for myself that when I get the focus off of me, all of a sudden my joy meter just starts filling up. That makes sense? I hope I didn't throw her under the bus. She's just feeling a little blue. So just, you know, you're a woman, you wake up, and sometimes you just don't feel like facing the world. And so if you don't know where your place is in the body today, okay, encourage people. Every one of us is walking in with anxieties. We should take them to the Lord, by the way. Walking in with anxieties and stresses and the weights of the world. And, you know, sometimes the knees feel like they're going to buckle. And the scripture's encouragement is for faithful examples to be imitated so that the knees don't become weak. And maybe where you start to answer that question isn't where you end. Does that make sense? Like, I'm using my example because it's the one that I can use without getting in trouble. Is that fair? Like, I didn't use your example. But where I started was just like, you know, interacting with the youth. That's not where it stopped. It ended up where I am today. It's the same thing for you. Not that you all have to be evangelists. It's just, it could be different, and it's going to shape. So, he says in Romans 12, he's like, each one of us have gifts, and they're different. Praise the Lord. Amen? We each have gifts that are different. Praise the Lord. Exercise them. Share them. Share them with the brethren. And he gives us some examples. He says, if prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. That's the one I touched on. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Like, this is not an all-inclusive list here. Okay? But these are some of the things that the Lord has given Christians that they can share. And the cool thing about it is the majority of us fall into some of these categories. Brethren, can you exhort? Can you serve? Like, I have been thinking about Mike a lot lately, because that's his service to the brethren. By doing this Peaks thing. Like, it's a way he gets to turn around and serve the brethren. And I love him for it. We all can serve. That's what John chapter... Jesus is like, if I, the great teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to do the same. You got to serve one another. Okay? So what I hope we're seeing here, and maybe I'm a little off topic here, but faith can be imitated. We have to make sure that where we're at, that we're setting a good example, that our faith is secure, that we're convicted in our convictions. And then if we have a desire to help stimulate others to love and good deeds, to strengthen and unify the body, you can't give it to them, but you can sure share it. You can bring them into your home and practice hospitality. And so that's how I want to end this, is by reading the rest of this chapter. Because what it does is it just flows into practical examples of what this looks like. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Practical examples of what this looks like. Gifts that are taken, put into place, and that are able to be imitated. Giving, being cheerful, exhorting, teaching, weeping with those who weep, rejoicing with those who rejoice, devoted to one another, be of the same mind. Whew. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And in so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. These are the things that we can bring. These are the individual things that lets our light shine that unifies a body. Because he started this section with the individual's responsibility to renew his mind. But the point is that the body is many. And even though the many do not have the same function, they are still one body in the Lord. We'll just have us close back in 3 John. I think I've made my point. Hope I've been encouraging this morning. Third John chapter 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself, and we add our testimony. You know that our testimony is true. The exhortation that I hope we've seen today is to imitate that which is good. My prayer is for the unity of the body, even specifically the congregation in Billings, and for the growth of the body. We each have an individual role to play in that, to grow in our faith and our conviction. We can't give that to one another, but we can share what we do have with the body. Amen? Amen. Go ahead and stand. Just want to remind us that our examples matter, and they're contagious. This thing can be caught. It can be seen and imitated. Let's make sure our example is worth imitating. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Lord, as he, in his own teaching, said that he can do nothing without the Father, and he does as he sees the Father doing. Lord, we thank you so much that in Christ Jesus, we, as he followed your will, O Lord God, left behind an example for us to follow and to imitate. The greatest and most perfect example that we can follow is Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is cool to see that there are those in the scriptures, in the church, that were imitating Jesus' example, and they were imitating it to the point to where then, specifically, Paul could turn around and say, "Imitate me as I am of Christ." Lord, as we continue to grow in the image of the one who created us, as we continue to conform into the image, into the likeness of God, as we are told to do in Colossians and in Ephesians, that as we become more and more like Christ, that we can help others to see the example of Jesus in our own lives. As we say, we turn around, I guess the best way we can help people is to show them the love of Christ, and that could not be more true. So just pray that we would each continue to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we would be strengthened to be diligent, so that we would hold on to our hope until the end, as we would remain faithful until death, and as we would consider others, that we would love the Lord God with everything that we have and our neighbor as ourself, and that we would consider others and how to help one another, giving them an example that's worth imitating. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.